Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, March 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Today on the show, we tackle plumbing with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. He's here to answer your questions and concerns about your latest plumbing project or problem. To join the conversation, give us a call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. If you want, you can email us as well. It's voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org. We don't always get to all of the emails. We do our best, however. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan's here. It's plumbing today on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. If you're not skilled with a wrench or savvy with a plumber's snake, certain home maintenance projects can be difficult without the help of a pro, and it's easy to get in over your head. Don't worry, though. Today, we have Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. He joins us every so often and answers your plumbing questions. He specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps, and he's in the studio right now. Your number is 800-348-2551. It's actually our number, but the number you want to call, 800-348-2551. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Again, our number is 800-348-2551 if you have a plumbing question. Ian Cowan, thanks for making the trip up north.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
How are the roads?
It was good. It started to snow a little bit on the way up, but everything was okay.
Have you had enough of winter?
The snow, yes. Yeah. The cold, we, you know, 2 or 3 days in a row of below freezing, and I'm busy. So, it's like the mortician. You know, you don't want people to die, but that's how they make a living.
Right. So. Okay. Well, fair enough. You know, that's an honest answer. Well, it's always good to have you here. Let's go to the phones at 800-348-2551. Tom in Saratoga Springs. Tom, you're on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hello. I've got an interesting question for you. We have a home that's 10 years old. We built it, and we think we've got a gremlin in our plumbing. When my wife takes a shower afterwards, I will get hot water out of our cold water faucet in the bathroom, but that's the only time it happens.
Huh.
So how far away is this shower from where your heating
the
source for your hot water
is? The shower and the sink probably are...
No. Not
12 feet apart?
No. Tom, how far is the shower from your hot water heating source? Your hot water heater, your boiler, your...
Shower is the third floor, and the hot water heater is in the basement. So,
they probably have...
50 feet.
There's probably a recirculating line on there. So what's happening is you're getting... No recirculating line?
They tried to sell us that, and we didn't put it in the continual hot water thing. Is that what you're talking about?
No. It's called a recirc line, and it used to be we were supposed to put them in if you were more than 100 feet from the heating source. Now they've dropped it to 50 in most places. So if you're more than 50 feet from where the hot water source is, you're supposed to have what's called a recirc line on there. So there's a pump, and then what it does is it has hot water. So when you turn on the faucet in the morning, do you have to wait a really long time to get hot water?
Yes.
Okay, then you probably
didn't do the continuous hot water loop.
Okay, gotcha. So it's possible that the pressure is feeding back from the hot into the cold. So there may be something on your line, a pump. There could be a check valve. Any plumber should be able to come out and find this problem within 15, 20 minutes just by looking at your system.
Okay. And would that make sense of me turning on the hot water at that same time and getting cold water? Does that fit in? Because that's what happens.
Yes.
I turn on the hot to get cold so I can brush my teeth.
Yes, because part of the hot is feeding, or part of the cold is feeding back into the hot, and it's pushing back into the line. So what that means is it's pushing cold water back, and then when you open that faucet, you're releasing the cold, and then the hot will come behind it.
Oh, I'll be darned.
So it's a fairly common problem. It's called a cross connection, and it happens a lot in situations where somebody leaves a faucet on. So a lot of times we'll find that somebody has like a washing machine. That's the number one cause that we find. The washing machine valve, the check valve fails in there, and then the hot water gets pushed into the cold or vice versa. And then when they open the faucet nearby, they get one or the other.
Okay. Our guest today is Ian Cowan. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing is here to answer your questions. And let's go to John in Canaan. John, you're on.
Hi. I have a 50-year-old oil burner, which many people tell me needs to be replaced. I've had plumbers from throughout the region come and take a look at it. And one will say, well, you need to replace it with an oil burner. One will say you need to replace it with a propane but non-condensing burner. Another will say you need to replace it with a propane condensing burner. And a fourth will say you need to put your water together with your furnace. What I'm looking for is some, and all of these guys are selling what they're recommending. What I'm looking for is an independent evaluator of my particular situation. It's an old house, large house, who is not selling, who is a neutral source and who can advise me what's the best what's the best replacement for the current situation. I have been unable to unearth such a group, and I'm wondering if you know, are there consultants out there that do this kind of thing? And if so, how do you find them?
So, unfortunately, John, anybody that's going to come out to give you an estimate is in the business to make money. Unfortunately, we don't have in our industry independent, appraisers is what I would probably call them. Sometimes you can get insurance appraisers or adjusters to maybe do that for you. But anybody that comes out, if you're not comfortable with them and you think they're trying to sell you something you don't need, you need to get rid of them immediately. Anybody that any plumber, okay, or what we are taught and what we teach our guys is that we ask the customer what they want. And then based on what you want, I can get you any of those things. I don't necessarily need to sell one brand.
The problem with that is it assumes that the customer knows what he wants. And, you know, that's pretty...
Right. Right. No, John, what I mean by that is we ask you leading questions. So, first of all, what's important to you? Do you run out of hot water? Do you, what's more important to you, oil or propane? What's going to cost you more or save you money? You know, in your opinion, what are you looking for? Now, propane, oil's fairly expensive. Propane is fairly dangerous because propane's heavier than air and it lays on the floor. So it's, you know, different than natural gas, which will dissipate and you have to fill a chamber in order for that to cause a problem. Propane is a lot more dangerous. So we try to stay away from propane unless that's what the customer wants.
And so, some people do. I know people who have it and they like it.
And they're fine with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why I can tell you what I like for my house, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you're going to like.
So, I guess you have to do some research on your own and sort of answer those questions.
Well, believe me, I've been working on this problem for over a year, and I think the research is a skill that I'm pretty good at, and I have not been able to crack this.
So John,
basically, everybody's is, you know, some people would say that you could put in a condensing propane unit here, but it's not going to work. And they give you a long analysis about the differences between temperatures going out and temperatures going back, and tell you that if they're not within a certain framework, it's not going to work. You have another guy who'll tell you just the opposite story. You know, there's no clear.
So I agree with you there, John.
Information path.
I feel your pain.
I agree with you there, absolutely. But so I guess where I was going with that. Is if I go out to a house or one of our guys goes out to a house, we ask questions to try to determine what it is that's important to you. And then we fit the system into what you want and we'll give you two or three options. So any plumber can sell any product, pretty much. I mean, there are a few exceptions where you have to be a licensed dealer and those kind of things. But most of the time, they can get you whatever it is. So they shouldn't be pushing one product in particular. And if you find somebody that is doing that, it's either A, because they really, really believe in that product, which is okay, or B, it's because they get some sort of kickback or, you know, that's what they're getting a bonus
on.
That
would not be ethical.
No, but it happens. So, right. And we try to be honest here, Ray. So you have to trust who you're talking to.
Well, thank you for the call. Let's go over to Ken in Northampton. Ken, you're on.
Oh, hi. I got a problem with water pressure. When one faucet is on, the pressure is just fine. I turn a second faucet on, even if it's hot or cold, doesn't matter where it is in the house, and the pressure drops, you can see a noticeable pressure, even in the the filling of the cistern in the toilet. So what do you think's going on?
Are you on a well, Ken?
Yeah.
So they make a system called a constant pressure system that you can put in. They make aftermarket ones where you don't have to change the pump. And it's a system that goes on your wall. It replaces basically your pressure switch on your tank and will replace your tank, your holding tank with a smaller tank. And it's a variable speed motor. So what it does is you set it. You say, I want 60 pounds of pressure. And you'll get 60 pounds of pressure. You open one faucet, you get 60. You open two, and the pump kicks up and ramps up to give you. So unfortunately, and there are some other factors. You could have the piping couldn't be, it may not be sized properly for volume. But it sounds like you're talking pressure as opposed to volume, which it really are two different things, and very hard to explain why they're different, but they are. Most people don't get that big difference between volume and pressure. So if you have half inch feeds for your entire house, it's going to be harder to get you the volume, but we can get you the pressure.
So small, you need the smaller pipes?
No, you actually want the larger pipes, and then they branch off. So code is a half inch line should only feed one fixture.
Yeah.
But a lot of times houses are older, things weren't done right. Some places they don't have the right codes, a lot of those things. But you can look into a constant pressure system. I can't recommend a brand here, but you definitely look into that, and that will help you.
Ken, thank you for the call. Ian Cowan is our guest. We talk plumbing today on Vox Pop, and if you have a question, the number is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back.
Support for Vox Pop on WAMC comes from George Heigl Antiques, Ballston Spa, New York, specializing in buying and selling antique collections for individuals, families, and businesses. 518-396-7974. Watercolors by Edith Shutesbury, Massachusetts. Edith Hunsberger, a painter in acrylic and watercolors, specializing in portrait paintings of people and pets from photographs. edith-hunsberger.artistwebsites.com. Interim Healthcare for 47 years, helping families keep loved ones at home, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the Greater Capital Region, Columbia and Saratoga Counties, and Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. Mass Match for over 16 years, a locally owned dating and matchmaking service, connecting singles through private matchmaking in Western Massachusetts and beyond. MassMatch.com. And from Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout Western Massachusetts. A family-owned business for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com.
Yeah, little Jimi Hendrix here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Ray Graff with you and Ian Cowan answering your plumbing questions. And Ian, before we get back to the phone lines, a couple of quick emails here. And this one is from Gary, who says its importance high. All right, here we go. Plastic bathroom piping. Ian, my bathroom was remodeled several years ago, and all the drain pipes were replaced with plastic. If we get a clog in the tub drain, do I have to worry about using Drano or liquid plumber to dissolve it? Will it affect the gaskets and cement sealing the pipes?
Short answer is no.
Okay.
Long answer is probably not going to work.
Why?
Most of those drain products don't work.
You want to know something?
If they did, I'd sell them.
Here's the funny thing. Here's how incompetent I am and how I was actually successful. We had, you know, I have a lot of daughters, and there's always hair in the bathroom sink. So we had this slow drain. It was very slow not too long ago. So I said, okay, listen, I got to put some of this liquid stuff in. I don't remember which one it was. You put it in, and then you wait X number of minutes, and then you put, I don't know, hot water down. Mr. Smart starts watching the game. 6 hours later, he remembers. Let me tell you, that pipe works great.
And oh, good.
It didn't need a hole in it. It was a pretty new pipe, so.
You got lucky.
So far.
If it works, I'd sell it, Ray.
All right, fair enough. This one is from May. I'm considering moving the first floor laundry with gas dryer to the second floor. The location on the second floor is immediately above the current location. Would this be a very expensive undertaking? That's from May.
Moving the gas line shouldn't be a huge problem. You are going to have to open a wall and a ceiling and maybe another wall just to get the pipe up to where you want it.
Yeah.
The vent, depending on where it's at, if it's directly above, you should be able to vent out in the same spot, just higher. You know, you can't run it down and out. It has to go up. So you'd have to run a new vent, a new gas line. Shouldn't be too big.
So not the end of the world.
No.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and Maureen in Boston Spa. Maureen, you're on.
Hi. I have a house that's about 140 years old, and I moved in it about 4 years ago. About 6 months after I moved in, my tub started backing up, and then my toilet overflowed. It was in the winter, and I called the plumber. They told me that the previous occupants had cemented over one of the two traps. First of all, I only thought there was one trap, but I guess I'm wrong about that. Anyway, they had to go into the trap with a snake. And they said that it was completely clogged with tree roots. So he was there about an hour and a half cutting out all of these tree roots from the thing. And he told me the only thing that I could do is in the spring have them come back and drill a hole in the ground and have a pipe that would extend outside of the house so that when this happened again, then they could easily get into the line from that external pipe. So I think they said it was going to cost about $650. So I didn't do it at the time. And, of course, now 3 years have gone by, and my sink, my tub is starting to not drain again. So I don't want to wait for the worst to happen. And I'm wondering, first of all, is there something else I can be doing? Are there really two traps on a line? And, what are your thoughts?
So first of all, I think they probably meant two entrances to the trap. So there's the house side and then there's the street side. So maybe it sealed over, you know, one side of that trap. But no, there shouldn't be two traps. And in a lot of places, they don't even have house traps. They were put in many, many years ago because we didn't have traps on all our fixtures. So now that everything has to be individually trapped, that's just basically a secondary point for things to get clogged, unless you live in the city of Kingston, where they hydro scrub their lines all the time, and it would actually it keeps that from sucking the water out of the traps in your house so that your house doesn't smell.
They do that?
They absolutely do. Well, and that's why they have to have house traps in the city of Kingston. But most places don't have that problem, so it's just a secondary point. And as long as the codes allow it, we actually remove those when we do any work because it's just a nuisance. But there are several things you can do. They did have a good idea about putting an outside clean out in is what they were doing. You're still going to keep cutting out those tree roots. And every year after they get cut out, they grow back thicker. And eventually they're going to collapse your pipe. So you're just putting a Band-Aid on the problem by putting in a clean out to have it snaked. So realistically, you should have it cleaned out, what we call hydro scrubbed or jetted. It's a high pressure water jet, cleans it out. And then you can either there's technology where you can actually blow a liner in there, a new pipe, or they have something called a trick pull where you can actually pull a line. It's pipe bursting and it pulls a new line through. Oh. There's several options to do this without actually tearing up your yard, or you could actually dig up and replace the line itself. But that's where you're going to eventually have to go. So just realize that this cost of putting in that clean out is just a Band-Aid. It's just a temporary fix. And there's also a product on the market that you can get as a plumber. I don't believe that they sell it to homeowners. I think you have to be a licensed plumber to get it. But it's called, can I say a product name?
Yeah.
It's the only one out there.
Sure.
It's called Rudex. It's a foaming product, and it's two chemicals combined together. You add water, it foams up, it eats the roots back, and it's a yearly treatment.
It's safe for the pipes?
It's safe for the pipes.
Amazing.
It's not safe for you. You have to wear gloves, and you have to, but that's why I said, you know, they don't sell it to the public, so that's why I didn't think we could.
Okay, well, you mentioned it.
So you have some options.
My other, I'm sorry, can you hear me? I feel like
sure.
I lost you.
No, go ahead. Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, are you there?
Yes.
My other question was, if these tree roots are into my pipe, doesn't that mean my pipe is now porous and isn't there sewage seeping out of my pipe then?
Could be. They could be coming in from the top, though, and usually, unless your line's clogged, all the water stays on the bottom. And again, don't worry about... So actually you're giving nutrients. So that's why the trees find sewer lines, because they're not only getting water, they're getting nutrients. So you're fertilizing your lawn, basically. So you're not doing any damage. I mean, it's not a good thing, but you're not damaging anything. There's no, you don't have to worry about, you know, walking on the lawn and you know, dying
right.
because of it.
Right.
But it is a problem, yeah. and the roots are going to grow back thicker, and eventually they're going to break the pipe. So you have to address the issue at some point.
Maureen, thanks for the call. Ian Cowan is our guest. Now, pipes are metal. How do roots get in them?
Not always, but even if they're metal, there's still a seal that they get into.
Oh, that's
so even the cast iron pipes or clay pipes,
yeah.
there's old clay pipes, there's plastic. Plastic's usually the best because when it's glued, they don't get it. But what happens is the pipes get condensation on them. You know, the difference in the temperature of the
yeah.
water and the ambient temperature in the ground. So then it starts to sweat. And then the tree roots are attracted to that. Once they get that, they wrap it, they grow.
Gotcha.
Then they get in through the seams, and then they eventually crack the pipes and break them.
Very interesting. Over to Dan in Pittsfield. Dan, you're on.
Oh, hey there. I had a suggestion for John, who called earlier, who was looking for an impartial advice.
Yeah.
Here in Massachusetts, we have MassSave or maybe Center for Ecological Technologies. Any energy-efficient government program, they come in and explain very well and don't suggest one brand or the other.
That's not a bad idea.
That's good to know.
I'm not
Thank
sure
you.
Where he was calling from, but that's a great idea. Thanks, Dan. We appreciate it. Over to Roger in North Adams. Roger, you're on.
Hi. Okay. Here's the deal. When I have a sink where I turn on the hot water separately from the cold water, and when I turn on particularly the hot water, I get this, banging noise and other kinds of noises, squeaking noises, that I assume is hot air or air in the system. It's been getting worse over time.
Did you always have this
and,
problem, Roger?
What's that?
Did you always have this problem, or did it start at some point?
No, it didn't. It started over time, over years.
Okay, so this is most likely, this is internal in that faucet, and it's probably the stem. And it's usually, not always, sometimes you have to replace the entire faucet, but a lot of times there's something, you can take out the stem and clean it or replace it. A lot of times what happens is something gets in there and it jams up, and then it kind of floats back down and then it jams back
okay.
up. If it was something that happened constantly for any of the other listeners, it's called water hammer. So you, on a quick closing valve, you will get a banging. So usually a washing machine, a toilet, anything that shuts off.
So what's the solution, sir?
The solution is to rebuild that faucet and or replace it. I would try to rebuild it first, see if it's savable.
To rebuild the faucet or
Correct.
Replace the faucet, and that should solve it?
That's the only place you get it, and you didn't always get it. So it's not an internal plumbing problem, because it would have happened from day one. So if it's only happening recently and it's only happening in that one faucet, we need to address that faucet. Okay?
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Roger. Have a great day.
Satisfied customer. Joanne in Gloversville. Joanne, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have an old house and a septic system that was put in before codes for leach lines and all that. And actually, when I had a contractor doing some other kind of work on my house and I was talking to him about how old it was, he says, well, you probably don't need it to change since there's just the one person if you don't have any problem. And I haven't had any problems since 1990 in the house. But in the basement, my washer, the water I have draining into a stationary tub, and the stationary tub's empty very, very slowly. And then if I have done that with the washer, then upstairs in the kitchen at the same time, the kitchen sink isn't draining. What can I do short of a new septic tank and leach lines and stuff, please?
So I have a couple of questions for you, Joanne. First of all, when this happens, do you have any problems with any other drains?
No.
Okay.
The bathroom is up on the second floor, and I haven't had trouble with it.
And when you run anything in the bathroom, it doesn't come up in the kitchen or the laundry, correct?
Right.
Okay. So most likely, especially based on the age of your system, those two drains, the laundry and the kitchen, probably don't go into your septic. They probably go into what we call a dry well because they're gray water. So as long as there's not a toilet on there, we used to be able to put them in. In some parts of the country, we can still put them into a dry well. Where we work, we're not allowed to put dry wells back. But what it is, it's to kind of relieve the pressure on your septic system. So it's taking a lot of the high volume water and putting it into something else so it's not filling your leach fields. So there's a couple of options depending on what the codes are in your area, and I'm not familiar with your town, but you may be able to put in a new dry well. You may be able to rejuvenate it. There's some products you can put in there that may eat some grease away that may or may not help. Usually it's just with the age of it, you probably have to replace it, or you can have a plumber reroute that line maybe with a pump or, depending on where it is, right into your septic, which will put a little more pressure on your septic system. But, you know, where I'm at, that's all we can do. You might want to check for a new dry well. Okay?
Okay, so in other words, you're letting me know that septic tank isn't receiving that water where I'm having the problem.
Most likely, based on what you told me, and again, I'm not there, so I can't look, but based on what you told me, I would bet dollars to donuts that does not go into your septic system.
Do you have any donuts?
I'll get some.
Note to self.
I'm not losing.
Yes, make sure we have donuts for the next show. Thank you for bringing that up. Let's go to Phil in Pokwag. Phil.
Yes. With regards to the gentleman that called earlier about the variable pressure when he turned on an additional tap, I think he said that he was on well water. I bet you he's got a filter that needs changing. We have exactly the same situation. If the filter gets dirty, the one tap seems to have fairly decent pressure, but two taps on, it goes to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah, makes sense to you, Ian?
Could be, but I didn't get that from him, but it sounded like that was just a constant problem he had, but that's well worth a try.
Phil, thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Very much for the call, and let's go over to Robin in Woodstock. Robin, you're on with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a well, and when the pump turns on, the water pressure in the house drops precipitously, sometimes turns off completely for a second or two. And I did replace the well pump a few years back, and we put a longer cord on the pump so that the pump would be further down in the water in the well. But I don't know if this is a normal thing when you have a well or what the problem might be.
Did they tell you that you have a low yielding well? Did anybody tell you that?
Nobody told me that, no.
Okay. So if you had a low-yielding well, then it would shut off. A lot of times, though, if you're shutting off completely, either you're not getting water. Do you get any air in the line ever?
No.
Okay, so that's probably not the issue. I would check the well tank. You have a big gray or a big blue tank in your basement, I'm guessing?
Yes, and I replaced that at the same time that I replaced the well pump.
And how long ago was that?
It was about, I would say, 10 years ago.
Okay, and when did this problem start?
It's always been a problem, even before I changed the well pump and the tank.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Because it sounds like a well tank. It could be a low-yielding well, but usually it doesn't shut off completely with a low-yielding well. I don't know how familiar you are with that tank down there, but there should be a gray switch. It's a box. It's got electrical lines going to and from it. Is there a little lever on the side of it that sticks out?
I think there is.
So that means that you have a low yielding well. So do you ever have to reset that, or does it just do it on its own?
Nope. Never touched it.
Okay. So that means that you have a low yielding well is what it sounds like. So, you probably want to have a licensed well technician in your area come out and check it out to see. And what they'll do is they'll do a static line test, and then they'll do a yield test to find out how many gallons per minute you can get. And then we try to size your pump properly. You can also put in a holding tank so that as the water builds in the well, you're actually housing more water in a holding tank that's not actually going into your system yet, so that you don't have to worry about running out, because I'm sure that that's not fun when you're in the shower.
Okay. Robin, thanks for the call. I believe Craig and Brant Lake, we dropped you. Your cell phone dropped. You're on now. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I've got a question. My wife and I just sold our house in Long Island. We're buying a house and closing one in Corinth that has a well. Our house in Long Island did not. The Long Island house has 90 PSI of water pressure, which we have for the past 18 years. It's phenomenal. And it was taking, you know, great showers and all that stuff is great. Everyone I talk to up here about the well pressure, they're saying that's not going to happen, which if it can, it can't. Because, again, I'm not that familiar with the well. But is it possible to increase your water pressure? I've seen them from 20 PSI to 40. Is it possible to get at least close to 90 without I'm sure that if I won this, you know, if I had deep pocket, I could just get a huge pump put in that would, you know, like the farmers do. But, you know, considering working with what I have without going through a great deal of expense, is that something that's feasible?
Yes. So it seems like we get like the same call all the time, right, on the same day. So this is the same thing. You can get what's called a constant pressure system. We spoke about it a little earlier.
I'm not telling you.
It's just funny because we'll get
things go in trends.
We'll get 10 calls on toilets one day. We'll get 10 calls on wells another day.
It's funny how that goes. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, we're happy that you called.
But it's
called a constant pressure system, but I will tell you, you're not going to get 90 PSI. And at 90 pounds, you got really lucky that you didn't blow seals on toilets and faucets at 90. They're only rated to go to 75. So when we put in a constant pressure system, we kind of max them out at 70. The guys who sell me those constant pressure systems have them in their house, and they're set at 80, and they're happy with them. But I don't want to get called out because you had a flood. But yes, you can do that. It's called a constant pressure system. Very simple.
All right, Craig, thanks a lot. We appreciate your tenacity for jumping back on your cell phone. Ian Cowan is our guest. We'll take a quick break here. 800-348-2551, the number. Plumbing and the Home Stretch coming up.
Support comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins. GrapesandGrainsWine.com. Vermont Coffee Company, offering slow-roasted organic coffee in the brown paper bag at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. Saratoga Bridges, presenting the annual Autism Expo and Art Exhibit, Sunday, April 29th, from noon to 3 at the Saratoga Springs City Center. Over 90 exhibitors, arts and crafts, and more. SaratogaBridges.org. The Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993. Offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings. HenyonBakery.com. And from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Mechanicville. Providing commercial casework, custom display solutions, and interactive exhibits for special events, permanent museum installations, and trade shows. Nationwide. EmpireExhibits.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, and Ian Cowan is our guest. Ian of On the Level Plumbing, and our number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Ian, this one came in via email from Ethan in Lakeville. This could be for the Science Forum, Ethan writes, but I have a clunking hot water line question. You always know when someone's taking a shower or doing laundry because you can hear that clunk throughout much of the house. I've tried to isolate a particular spot with no luck. Car Talk would say, put a stick up to the pipe and listen carefully with ear to the stick and try to figure out where it's loudest. Question, so if you actually find the spot, what do you do next? And I think you addressed this already.
It's okay. We get a lot of the same questions. It's not a problem. So a lot of times we'll get a banging from a quick closing valve. So washing machines close quickly when they shut off. Toilets close quickly when they shut off. Sometimes if you slam a faucet shut or you turn the shower off, if he's getting a banging while the faucet is running, then that's usually something to do with that particular faucet.
So it could be the shower.
Could be the shower valve itself. But if it's only when it's turned off or on, that could be water hammer if it's always doing it. And then that means it wasn't piped properly with water hammer, arresters, or air chambers. And then, you know, short of opening the wall, you can't stop that.
Right. And you just have to live with it.
Correct.
All right. And this one is from Thomas. So PEX has been around for a while. Any problems with PEX these days? For those who don't know, tell us what PEX is and then give us the answer to that one.
So PEX is a plastic pipe that's used for water lines.
Okay.
So, and we tend to follow Europe when all of this happens. So they had lead lines, we had lead lines. They had wood lines, we had wood lines. They used copper, they went to galvanized steel, we went to galvanized steel. They went to copper, we went to copper. PEX has been in Europe, and don't quote me on this, but I think for well over 30 years now, mm-hmm. And they haven't had any problems. We did have a product called polybutylene, which was gray, and the pipe was fine, but the fittings were not manufactured properly, and there was a recall. Mm. The only place we really find these now are like mobile homes.
Okay.
But as far as PEX is concerned, as far as I know, and we did have a couple of episodes back when we were on
here. People said there was
somebody called and said that they think that there's they read a study that
toxicity.
Yes, but yeah. Nothing that I've seen, nothing from the plumbing industry. The only reason I don't like PEX is it affects the volume of water. And the reason is that the fittings go on the inside of the pipe as opposed to the outside. So your inside diameter where the water is flowing is restricted at every single joint.
Mm.
So unless you're going to upsize, like I actually have PEX in my house. When I first bought my house, I used PEX to repipe the whole thing, but I upsized everything. So everything is one size larger than is required.
Mm.
So, but as far as I know, there's nothing unsafe about it.
All right, we'll get back to the phones in a moment. But you said we follow Europe. And you said when they went to lead lines, we did lead lines. And mm-hmm. when they did wood lines, mm-hmm. there's such a thing as a wood line?
So as you know, Ray, and I don't know if your listeners know, but my parents were both plumbers.
Yeah.
My mother's still with us. She was the first licensed, statewide licensed master plumber in the country.
Female.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I grew up in this industry. My father used to tell me about wood water lines, and I didn't believe
You're
him.
You're kidding me.
And so one day, I was like 14 or 15, and he called and said he was coming to get me and this was before cell phones and pagers and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But he called and said that I had to go to work with him and he was coming to get me. And he took me over, and sure enough, there were lead water lines. I've seen wood water lines, but I've seen wood drain lines, but this was a wood water line. Turns out that during the war, we needed all of our metals, our ferrous metals for tanks and bullets and all that kind of stuff. So they actually, the same plants that would make piping, they made pipes out of wood, and then they had a coating on there, and then they actually ran water lines in wood.
And how long would they last?
Well, I'm assuming they put them in the 40s, I would guess, because that's wartime, right?
Yeah.
30s, 40s. And I saw it in probably the early 90s, late 80s. So they lasted a good 40 years.
Dollars to donuts, my house has wood lines because it was built in 1940. And I'll bet you anything that would explain so much. All right, let's go over to Sharon and Lennox. Sharon, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about sump pump backup systems. Given all the storms we've had lately, I have two small sump pumps in my basement that work great, but I'm concerned what to do if the power ever goes out. I've been looking at these battery backup systems, but they seem to get mixed reviews in terms of whether they'll be working by the time you actually need them. Do you have any experience with them or...
Absolutely.
Any alternatives you could offer?
Absolutely. Are you on a well or are you on city or town water?
Town water.
Okay. So you have two options. One, you can do the battery-operated backup pump, which will give you almost the same flow rate and volume with that battery as you would with regular power. So those are great. The problem is you have to, they recommend that they're marine batteries is what they are, and they recommend that you change those every year. That's the recommendation by the manufacturers. So they're fairly expensive, they're $130, $140 a piece. So you're upgrading that every year, whether you use it or not.
Yeah.
Can you get by without doing that? Absolutely. They have rechargers on them, all kinds of stuff. But the people that are really want that peace of mind, they'll go in and they'll change it every year. So that's an added expense.
Okay.
You also have a second option. You can do a water-operated backup pump. Now, this water-operated backup pump will work based on your town water, so or your city water. You can't do it if you have a well, because if you lose power, you lose your well.
Right.
So, and it works on a Venturi system. So I'll explain that very quickly.
Yeah.
Like if you have a hose and you have a weed killer that you attach to the end of your hose, the way that works is as the water passes by, there's a little tube that goes down into the liquid, and it creates a vacuum and it sucks that up and it mixes.
Okay.
Same concept with a water operated backup pump. There's a Venturi T at the bottom. So once the float kicks in, it opens this valve and now you're running full line pressure from your house, like opening a hose or opening a faucet across this T, and it now grabs some of it. The problem with that is it's only going to work about half as quickly as your regular sump pump, because you're filling most of that with the volume that you're putting into it.
Yeah.
So they work, but they only work as temporary. So if you're in a place where you lose power for 3 or 4 days at a time and it's because of flooding, that's probably not a good option. But it is an option. Okay?
So question about that. Mm-hmm. Does that work even if you're having to pump up? Because these are obviously the, sump pumps are in the floor of the basement, and it's pumping up about 9 feet and then out.
Yep, that's the whole point of them. I think, and again, we'd have to look up the numbers, but I believe that you can get 15 feet of head is what we call it. It's the height.
Yeah.
I think the water operateds are rated to 15 or 20 feet. So, yeah, that's what they're made for.
Sharon, thanks a lot for the call. Sharon. Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing is our guest today on Vox Pop. And John in West Brookfield, Mass. Is next. John.
Hi, Ian. Thanks for taking my call. I had my sewer ejector in the basement, which works on a bathroom and a sink, another sink down there, replaced after 30 years. And now it shuts on and off like every half hour or so, even if nothing's being used and run into it.
So sounds like the check valve has failed. So if you look on the pipe on the discharge line, you'd have to open it up to see it. But there's a check valve. And what's happening is that's supposed to stop the water from dumping back into the pump. So it sounds like there could be just, if it's only every half hour and it's not just off, on, it probably has a slow leak or some debris in it. You can either take it apart and clean it or just replace it. They're not that expensive to replace. But it sounds like the water's getting back into the system. So you just want to change your check valve. You'll be fine.
Thanks, John. We appreciate the call. And now it's time for Gus. Gus and Schoharie, you're on.
Yeah, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Gus.
Yep. I got a drilled well, overflowing drilled well that, you know, we know we have sulfur and high iron. We have a Culligan water treatment system that's been working for 10 years. And we replaced the hot water heater last year. And when I bought it, they had me for another $150 buy an extra large aluminum anode to go into it to give me a longer life guarantee on the tank. Mm-hmm. And since then, when we run the hot water, we've noticed more of a sulfur smell in the hot water, which we actually never had before. So a well driller, when I had him come by and take a look at the systems, when I told him about the hot water heater, said he's been having complaints about these new hot water heaters and the extra large aluminum anodes causing this. Can you comment on that, please?
He is 100% correct.
And when I got online and Googled it, they were recommending adding a valve to be able to pour hydrogen peroxide into the tank. My brother-in-law, who's a chemist, doesn't recommend that.
Well, that's a very common fix. So two ways to get rid of that particular sulfur smell, which is actually the byproduct of a bacteria, and that is peroxide or bleach. So the peroxide is the safer way to go with that. You can also treat this before it goes in, but you will have to drain your water heater. You'll have to clean it, and you'll have to clean the pipes going. You know, you basically put that peroxide solution in, let it sit for at least 8 hours. We recommend 24, but you can put in a filter before, so next to your Culligan system that you recommended. Depending on which type of sulfur bacteria it is, you'll have to get it tested, but there's either an additive or just in aeration, and you can get rid of that smell.
Okay. Gus, thank you very much for the call. Ian Cowan is our guest, and it's time for Jimmy and Rhinebeck. Jimmy, you're on.
Hey, thanks, man. Great show.
Thank you.
I have a water heater, and the relief valve keeps blowing off, like when I take a shower, and the shower's upstairs. I was just curious if I turn the temperature down, and what's the normal temperature for an electric water heater?
So we always set them at 120, and then you know, our customers generally turn them up. But I can't set it for higher than 120 because that will that can cause scalding. But if you look at your temperature pressure relief valve on the side, it'll tell you what temperature and pressure it blows off at. It might not necessarily be the temperature. It's most likely a pressure issue.
Mm-hmm.
Are you on town or city water or a well?
Town or city water.
Right. So what I would do is, if you don't want to pay somebody to come out and check that for you for, I don't know, $10, you can go to one of the big box stores or a hardware store, and you can get a gauge that'll go right on your outside faucet for like a garden hose, and you just tighten that up there, you open the faucet, that'll tell you what your pressure's at, and if it's above, you know, 70 or 80 pounds, and a lot of them have a little red needle on it that'll give you the high point, so it'll kick on, and that little red needle will go to like 130, and then you'll see the black one at like 80. That means that you're getting fluctuations in the pressure, because that is a temperature and pressure relief valve, so it's probably not a temperature thing, it's probably a pressure thing.
Okay.
How do I solve that?
Well, there's you put a pressure reducing valve on. You may have one next to your water meter. It looks like a bell, and it may just be failing, or you may not have one at all, and you may need one. A lot of times, towns or cities or villages will add on, or they'll up the pressure because they're feeding more houses. If you have a new development, things like that will change the, you know, wherever your pump station is.
Yeah.
That could affect that, or you could have been you could have had it the whole time, and then the pressure reducing valve that you have is now failing. It looks like a little bell, and it'll be right by your meter. What's that?
Can I turn the valve down for the water coming into the house? Will that help?
No. So this addresses what we talked about earlier. That won't change your pressure. It'll only change your volume. So your pressure will still be the same.
All right. Jimmy, thanks a lot for the call. And over to Bruce in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Bruce, you're on with Ian Cowan.
Hello. Yeah. Hi, Ian.
That's my middle name, Bruce.
great. Yes.
Small world.
I have a small repair to make on a copper hot water line in my basement, and due to a lack of shutoffs in this house, that pretty much means draining down the whole system. That's not really a big deal. I've done that plenty of times on seasonal homes. My question is, so this all ties into a Badaris oil boiler, and obviously I need to shut that off before I drain down, but I'm just trying to think, okay, is there anything I need to make sure of?
Are you
repressurize the system to make sure that turn the hot water
are you changing the pipe that you're changing, does it have anything to do with your heating system?
No.
Okay. So as long as everything's working properly, you don't have anything to worry about, because the boiler, it should be a closed loop as long as everything's working properly. So when you shut it down and you drain down your system, you won't be draining your boiler because it's a closed loop.
Okay.
So when you turn it back on, you should be fine. But I would turn it off just while you're working on it. Just to be safe, in case the check valves failed or something and you're losing water. You don't ever want to run a boiler without water in it.
All right, Ian Cowan, we only have a couple of minutes here. This one came in via email from Donna in Saratoga. Subject heading, toilets and high water tables. We are having a problem with our toilets. They're not flushing, and our water table is very high right now. Could that be the reason? If so, what can we do about it?
Move.
No, really? That's not helpful.
Sorry. No, I mean, it depends. If your septic system is full because of a high water table, you can try pumping your septic tank, and that may give you a day or two. It may not. It may fill right back up. So, unfortunately, okay. No.
This one is from Trish, and the subject heading is water issue. Downstairs bathroom backs up to laundry room. Water in both has an egg smell. No other rooms have this problem. Any ideas?
The egg smell is, again, our sulfur smell.
Mm-hmm.
So could be something to do with the water heater. It could be a lot of times you don't smell sulfur because you don't have the water below you. Like a lot of times it'll come out in a shower. You turn the shower on, but the gases go up, so you don't smell it. And if it's backing up, then it's a problem with the drain line.
All right. Very quickly, Phil in Pittsfield. Phil, you have 1 minute to ask and have your question answered.
Okay, I have a problem with my bathroom sink clogging. I put different drain cleaners in it, and after taking it apart when that didn't work, I found out that the tailpiece was actually clogged. So the Drano wasn't able to sit where I needed it. I wound up taking it apart, and the stopper was all clogged up. My plumber told me that he wasn't able to put in a removable trap by code, and I wound up cutting it apart so I could put in my own removable trap. But do you have a solution when my sink gets that clogged up?
Okay, 30 seconds.
Try to be quick. Where I'm at, we like removable traps, so we don't have that issue. And yes, you want to be able to take it apart. You want to clean it. You maybe put a screen in the bottom if it's hair, if it's toothpaste, or something like that. Just run extra water after you're done brushing your teeth to let it flush through, yeah, so it doesn't sit in the bottom and harden.
I remember many years ago when the kids were little, we had a toilet backup. Like, we didn't know what to do. Called a plumber. It was a Dora the Explorer figurine in the line.
My nephews, first time we moved into the house, it was Valentine's Day. I was working in Albany, and I live down south.
Yeah.
My wife calls and says that the drains are backing up. My nephew put a matchbox car in the toilet.
Oh, those kids. Hey, Ian Cowan, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Ray.
Support comes from MPAC, presenting a multimedia concert performance by Swedish composer Ellen Arkbro, who will perform on electric guitar and electronics March 8th, mpac.rpi.edu. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York, specializing in distinctive eyewear, featuring new styles for 2018. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. Hudson Wine Merchants, a wine and spirits boutique in the heart of Hudson, New York. Curbside service and delivery available. Hudson Wine Merchants, raise your glass, hudsonwines.com. And Colby Attorney's Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community since 1939, ColbyService.com. Thanks again to Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing for being here today, and thank you for listening and the great calls and emails. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Thanks to, oh my gosh, Colleen O'Connell answered the phones again this week. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, the people behind the bars and ovens of the establishments taking part in Hudson Valley Restaurant Week will join us for a Food Friday. Right now, stand by for news.